Amen. I trust you're getting wisdom. I trust that you're willing to work that well. Work that well. Lately, there's been a lot of videos. Forgive me, I'm dry. A lot of videos of Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant. And I always knew how talented he was and gifted he was. And to be honest, I don't know if I was a huge fan of his when he was a player. I respected him. I was a Celtics fan, so I didn't like him that much. They beat us too much. But it's incredible as I'm watching now the different interviews, as we're kind of appreciating him now that he's gone. And it's incredible how folk can be ahead of their time and we don't acknowledge their greatness till something has happened and they're gone. One of the things that I've noticed and listened to and admired is the work ethic. Drell, throw that on the screens for everybody. The work ethic of Kobe Bryant. The getting there early and leaving late. The gym rat. The putting in 2 hours of work and 3 hours of work in the morning and another 2-3 hours in the afternoon and another 2-3 hours in the evening. Him being asked after a championship loss, are you going to work harder? And he's just... In essence, he said, well, because couldn't work any harder. What happened to our work ethic? I was talking about this last Wednesday. I'm talking about it again tonight. We have to be careful that the ease of technology does not rob us of our work ethic. The ease with which things can be accomplished doesn't rob us of our work ethic. You have to be careful that your talent doesn't rob you of your discipline. My God, that your talent, I want to talk to somebody tonight. I'm trying to minister to somebody tonight. I'm trying to get somebody some wisdom tonight. Though it costs you everything you have, get understanding. Can I give you some wisdom? You want to be careful that your talent and your gift doesn't make you lazy. That your talent and your gift doesn't rob you of your ethic to work hard. We all have to be careful that the things that we do that can make us have a quick feeling doesn't rob us of the ability to do the work to really change. Whenever I'm having conversations with any young people, my children, my sons, their friends, folk around, it is a moment we all have got to be very careful about substances, whether we're talking about weed or alcohol or drugs. The thing about drugs is they have this ability to quickly change your feelings, quickly change your emotions so that you were feeling anxious and now you don't. You were feeling buzzy and now you don't. You were feeling nervous and now you're mellowed out. And I understand the temptation to do the quick thing, but the quick thing isn't always the strong thing. So quick, let's just take a drug and get muscles quick. Let's just take this pill and lose weight fast. We want to spend 25 years being unhealthy and overweight and then get in shape in 25 days because you're going to take this pill, this keto pill, and it's going to make you, even though you've never worked out, even though you're going to be ripped, you're not going to be ripped without some work. You're not going to have muscles without some work ethic. No pill can give you muscles. You're going to have to do some work. What I'm saying tonight and or this morning, whatever it is that you're watching, it is work the well. He says, listen, above all else, verse 23 of chapter 4, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Let's store up wisdom on the inside so that we can gain wisdom from within. part of the reason why I'm even looking at the Proverbs and studying the Proverbs and reading from the Proverbs, I started off this Wednesday night thing saying I'm going to study from Jeremiah, but Jeremiah just speaks more to me than I. There's some scary stuff the Holy Ghost is saying to me out of Jeremiah, and I felt like let me look at the Proverbs. Let's get some wisdom. Let's get a knowledge that's not just head knowledge; it's heart knowledge. Let's get a knowledge that's within. Let's get a knowledge that comes from within. That's birth from the inside. There's a song that we sing that says, Lord, fill my life from the inside of me. Because all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Lord, come fix my mind from the inside. Lord, change my life from the inside. Set me on fire from the inside. Most of us are looking to be set on fire from the outside. Set me on fire from the inside. Guard my heart. It's the wellspring of life. Be careful what I store in my heart. Be careful what you store in your heart. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Guard it. Be careful about it. Understand, it's a wellspring. We talked about that last week. I will pick it back up. We talked about the well. We talked about digging a well. We talked about these three sources of water. Water from above, water beside, and water beneath. That God has created this. He's created us dependent on water. Can't go more than 3 days without some water. Not only your lips and your mouth, but your organs will start to shut down if you're not hydrated properly. Most of us don't get enough water. What happens when you get to the hospital? The first thing they do is hook you up to some IVs and start running water through your body. God has made us and created us as humans dependent upon water. All mammals are dependent upon water. And then there's these three ways in which it comes. It comes from above. Then as we're moving, traveling across a landscape, we find water around us. And then there's water beneath us. There's a depth. There's a water table beneath the ground that if you dig down deep enough and get to it, there's water that comes up. I know I've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again. I spent summers in weeks in the summer. It felt like summers. Weeks in the summers in Watchaprig, Virginia with my great-grandmother. She didn't have running water in her house. She had a spring. She had a pump. The pump was connected to the water table underground. And you had to, there was a primer bucket next to it. And you had to pour water in to get water out. Hallelujah. Only switching I ever got from my grandmother, she only switched me once, I only needed it one time, was when I let the primer bucket run out. You understand? There's this pump that comes out, this pipe that comes out the ground. It's connected to the well. And there's a handle on it that you work, and it makes water come out. But the pump down in there is lubricated by water. Can't be lubricated by oil or something else, and it'll corrupt the water. So you pour water in to get the mechanism working to pump water out. Once you get that water out, you can fill up your buckets and fill up your pots and fill up your thing. But at the end, you need to refill your primer bucket and leave that sitting there so that the next person that comes can get some water out of that thing. And I let that primer bucket go dry, and then we had to walk 2 miles up the road to Uncle Meso's house and get some water from him to come back. Boy, I got in so much trouble over that. Because no one wants to go far to get water. My grandmama was saying, go give me some water right now. And when I went out to get her some water, there was the primer bucket was out. I'd let the primer bucket go dry, and now we couldn't get water. She's mad as a hornet at me. Go up to your Uncle Meso's and get some water. Now you got to go up there, pour his primer in there, get his, pump his water out. Then fill up what you need. Carry it all the way back. Refill your primer bucket. Dump it in there, get the water going. It's a whole process because water is life. Here the writer is saying, I want you to guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. It's health to a man's whole body. It's life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, beautiful words of life. That the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. Christ has come, kingdom has come, church has come, spirituality has come, that you will have life and that more abundantly. And there were so many of us connected to Christianity and disconnected from abundant life, connected to Christianity for us to be the vehicle, the grist, for us to be the workforce, the slave labor force for other people to have life. But Christianity is supposed to connect you to life and that more abundantly. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying, as much as I want life to come from above, as much as I want to find life in my church or find life in my ministry or find life in this man of God, this prophet, this word I'm hearing, that's awesome. But at some point, you got to find life on the inside. David says, you got to encourage yourself. Work the well. I want to talk about the well just for a little bit because I know many of us we're kind of very ignorant of wells and don't know a lot about wells, and we're not raised in a world or in a day or in a time in which folks had wells. It's just not something that we normally do. We're very disconnected from it. But make sure I get my time together. But the well was something that was life. My God, you don't want the wells to run dry. That was a bad sign. Raiders would come in, marauders would come through in biblical times and stop up the wells, fills up the wells. My God, you're really trying to make folk move if you're going to stop their well up. I want us to talk about the work of the well. Let me give you several thoughts. I've written them down really quickly tonight. I got five thoughts. Jarrell, I want you to keep up with me. Work the well. Number one, the first one, and we're live. Give him a second. He's going to get it up there in just a minute. But the first one is you got to dig the well. That's the start of it. Well work. You got to dig the well. You got to find your depth. Depth. You got to dig down deep. Most of us are shallow. Most of us are so dependent on stuff and so dependent on things and so dependent on everything going our way and so dependent on everything and being amazing and so dependent on technology and so dependent on lights, so dependent on electricity. Let the slightest little bit of hardship come our way. We find out how deep we really are. Difficulty makes you dig deep. Pain makes you go deep. Hardship makes you go deep. I've gotten deep as a result of hardship. I've gotten deep as a result of work. I've gotten deep as a result of study. I've gotten deep as a result of reading. I've gotten deep as a result of prayer. I've gotten deep as a result of experience. These gray hairs have made me deep. This time has made me deep. This OG-ness has made me deep. It's an OG thing going on around here now. It's some depth. Been on the planet too long to be shallow. I've dug down and I found my heart. The first thing that had to happen is you had to dig down till you hit water. You know that water table's under there. You dig down, You're digging through several layers to get down to that water table. And digging the well was work. Not only did you dig the well, once you dug down, and not only dug down, but you made it wide enough. You had to get all of the dirt out. You're creating a hole. You're not just moving it to the side. You're digging. Once you started to get to a certain depth, you then had to have a mechanism with which to draw the dirt out. Now you couldn't do it by yourself. It took multiple people. Someone's in there digging, putting it in the buckets. Folk are hauling it up on ropes and get, because the well had to be a certain amount of width, a certain amount of size, and a certain circumference. And there were bigger wells than others. Then once you got down to the water, you had to dig even deeper. You're down there standing. You're standing in water that may be up to your waist or up to your neck, because you want that bucket, when you drop it down there, to be able to go in and submerge, and you want the water to be able to be separated from what's on the bottom so that you have cleaner water that floats to the top and the dirt is down at the bottom so that you have some depth to the water. Digging a well took some work. And then what they would do is they would line the walls of the well. The best wells have bricks. They get in and they mortar. They put stone around the well so that dirt and worms and animals and things won't get in to mess up the water. But there are wells where they put wood slats down the well. Connected that. Digging a well took work. Then number two, you got to maintain the well. Maintain the well. Give him a second. He'll throw it up if you're taking notes. Maintain the well. That means if you got wood in there, you got to go down there every now and then and clean it. The moisture and the humidity, and you don't want anything to corrupt your well. On a regular basis, you got to go down there. You have to make sure you got to pull water up. You pull up the water and it smells funny or tastes funny. You have to go down there. Maybe something is falling in your well. You can't have animals in there dying in your well, corrupt your water. Now you got death in the well. You got to make sure those slats are maintained. A well had to be maintained regularly throughout the year. It wasn't, every 5 years. No. Every year, somebody had to go down on some in the light and go down there on a rope, and they're lowering them down. Are you taking a look at the well and making sure it's in good shape? Making sure the walls are in good shape. Making sure the dirt isn't all of a sudden collapsing in. Make sure that there have been shifts in the earth that make your well collapse. It took a lot of work to dig that well. You got to maintain your well. There are so many people who they just think, I got saved, I gave my life to the Lord, I started going to church, and I'm good. Well, your spirituality has to be maintained. Your relationship with God has got to be maintained. Just like everything has to be maintained. Your health has to be maintained. Your body has to be maintained. House has to be maintained. Apartment has to be maintained. Them rugs have to be maintained. They have to be cleaned regularly. Same with your spirit. Same with your mind. Has to be maintained. Body has to be maintained. Strength in your legs must be maintained. You can't get overly cocky or confident about the strength in your legs. They have to be maintained. You're going to get old and you won't be able to get out of a chair. Your well has got to be maintained. There's got to be maintenance around your Christianity, maintenance around your spirituality, maintenance around your relationship with God. You got to maintain it. Third thing you had to do with the well is you had to cover the well. Most of us saw wells that had some kind of covering over them. They covered it to keep stuff from falling in there. Covered it to keep leaves and debris and stuff from getting in. In essence, that's really what Solomon's talking about. He's saying, you gotta guard it. It's a wellspring of life. You have to make sure that your covering is proper. You gotta get some good spiritual leadership. You gotta get somebody that can speak into your life. You gotta get somebody separate from you, who you trust, that can examine you and see if what you're pulling out is faulty. Having a conversation with one of the leaders, my bishop, honestly, and he asked me a question. He said to me, who challenges you about what you see in the Bible? And I just stopped for a second. I got quiet. I knew I was in trouble. I had told him something I saw in the Bible, and he said, yeah, who questions you about that? Who analyzes you, Pastor Andy? Who tells you? I just got quiet. He said, yeah, that's what I thought. Who do you trust to look into your well? Who do you trust to look at what you draw up from the inside of you? I would contend there's a whole lot of us drawing up corrupted water from within us. And somebody got to be able to sniff that water and say, that ain't right. There's got to be a covering. Number four, brick around the well. Most of us that have seen wells have seen wells that once they're not just flat to the ground. Once they reach the ground, once you get up and you're at the ground, now you build a wall. You fortify around the hole. That keeps stuff from just blowing and falling in your well. That makes people be able to see it. That keeps a horse from falling in there. It keeps kids from falling in there. It keeps people from tripping and falling into the well. It keeps debris from going in the well. It helps to keep your well clean, that it's fortified, that there are stones that you've placed, that the stones that the builders rejected have also been a stone that not only do you build a house to live out of it, but you take those same stones and you put that around your well so that you're guarding the well. Now you're actually able to lean on the well. Now you're able to recognize the well. Now there's a strength to it. Talk to people so many people so often who it's like their spiritual perspective from within is not fortified by anything but just them. There's no word, there's no teaching, there's no principles. You don't want the principles to be so overwhelming and be so tall and be so high. There are some people that have created principles and structure based on the word that is so high and tall that you can't reach the life-giving water that's beneath the surface. There are some folk who are more caught up in religion and more caught up in spiritual action than they are actually in life-giving spirit that's within them. As a matter of fact, the love within them has gone cold. The love of many has gone cold. They're almost brainwashed by their perspective of principle. You want to be careful that you're not like that. He says, I want you to guard it. What are we talking about? We're talking about your heart. We're talking about the wellspring of life. We're We're talking about not just getting life from without, but life coming from within. You want to cover the well, number three. You want to brick around the well, number four. And then number five, you want to mechanize the well. That shouldn't be that difficult, because you should have mechanized it when you was digging it. But now that you've built this wall around it, now that you've fortified the well, you want to build a structure upon which it is easy to roll, a pulley system in which it is easy to lower buckets and pots down into the well and draw water out. With my grandmama, it was that pump, and you had to know how to work it. You had to pour water in to get water out. I was saying to my sons the other day that your mother and I, I said this to my daughter, there is a sea of love for you beneath the surface. And for most of your life, we've just been pulling it up and pouring it on you and washing you with it. But at some point, you are going to have to return water to get water. Oh my God. I said this to a young woman recently whose husband is leaving her. She's this far from divorce. I said, what happened is you stopped loving. He kept trying to love you, but you stopped returning love. And it's not that there's no love down there. It's that the pump's dry. Ooh, God, I know we don't, the pastor Andy, don't start meddling now. Just stick to the word. But the pump will go dry. You let your primer bucket go empty. I said to her, you're going to have to get some water from the Spirit, water from the Lord, water from the Word, you really getting water from your family? Then you ought to get some water from them to pour water into that well. And then you're going to have to work that pump to see if you can get some of the water of the love that's down in him to come back up out for you. She didn't pour enough water in to get water to come out. She certainly didn't work the handle enough to get water to come out. I've seen it both ways. I don't want to make it seem like I'm just harping on women. I've seen it both ways. I've seen it happen with men. I've seen it happen with women. I've seen it happen with children and parents. I know we want to live in some kind of spooky, deep, ethereal world where love is always there, but it is possible for the love to be there and you can't access it. You have to understand the mechanics of the well. You don't want to put somebody in a situation where they love you, but their life is better off without you. They love you, but they don't like you. It's possible. Stop living in some kind of spiritual fantasy world it's forever. Yeah, forever. But with your words, you will be acquitted, and with your words, you will be condemned. And sometimes it's too late. I've learned that. Sometimes it's too late. We'll understand it better by and by. We'll understand on the other side. You have to understand the mechanism of the well. How have you mechanized it? How have you made it so that you can reach it? The last thing you want is for you to be in a situation where you need water and you haven't got the mechanism to get it. For all of us who were raised overly spiritual and overly traditional and overly spooky and overly churchy and overly deep, the positive of it is that those things set up a mechanism for us. We know how to worship. We know how to pray. We know how to worship when the music ain't good. Get out of here. We know how to worship with a person who can only play in one key. We know how to worship when Mother Sullivan is playing the piano and she can't hardly play. We know how to make a joyful noise. We don't need music perfect. We don't need drums perfect. We don't need lights perfect. We don't need everything perfect. We know we've got the mechanism in place. The last thing you want to ever happen to you is for you to need that water and you have never drawn any. Lately, I've been having conversations with my sons and I've been saying, just because you're raised in a Christian home don't make you Christian. You take all of this for granted. Now you're at a dry place and you so have made church common, so much youth group, and so, that you never learned how to sit and hear a word. We almost made it too fun for you. Now, when it's time for you, some of you are at a dehydrated place. Your lips are chapped. Your tongue is dry. You need God. And you have not learned how to mechanize that well. I give you a drink, but oh, beloved, if you can ever learn how to get to that well on the inside of you. How do I do that, Pastor Andy? How do I access my depth? Well, that's a good question. How do I access it? What are the things that I do? Well, all right, PA, I hear you. What do I do so that there's a depth in me that nothing can shake? That's an excellent question. I'm going to answer that next Wednesday. Let me pray for you. God, I pray. For everyone that's watching around the world, God, I'm asking for a miracle. God, I'm asking for favor in a time of favor. God, I'm asking for blessing in a moment of blessing. But God, I'm also asking for abundance in a moment of famine. I'm asking for strength in a moment of weakness. Be our strength, oh God. Father, light the way. Be our present help. Thank you for living so big in us tonight. Thank you for wisdom from your word. Thank you for truth from the parable and the practicalities of life, even life that is beyond us, even life that we're past. But God, may we be stronger in our technology and still deep and close to you. Strengthen us by your spirit on our inner man. In our inner man, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. So glad you're with us tonight. Want to see you again. Want to see you on Sundays. Got a word for you. Talking about next level knowledge. You don't want to miss it. Obviously, next Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about how to access depth. Next Wednesday night, sitting right here. We're studying the word together. This devotional time is powerful. So glad you're with us. Of course, you can always give. It was in the lower thirds this whole time. 77977, WO Online. Text WO Online to 77977. You can always give. You can prime that pump. You can pour in and work it, and life will come back to you. Can't wait to see you. From literally around the world. Excited you're with us tonight. Never forget, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See you next time.